The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today on our 51st episode. I'm laughing because I'm like trying to pump myself up in my voice and wake my body up.
What? Why are you so tired?
Oh my God. I flew back. It's Labor Day weekend. Not when you're listening to this, but when we're recording it, just was Labor Day weekend. So I went out to do my cousin's wedding to be the officiant out in upstate New York.
On East Coast time.
Yeah. And we can talk about that. But right now, the reason I'm so tired is because getting home was just a total shit show. And I got stuck in, two really awesome airports for 3 hours each. The first one was Albany Airport in upstate New York. If you've never been there, it sucks. And it just sucks. It's small and manageable,
totally,
but they have one bar and it was closed. And I was like, perfect. So I got delayed there for 3 hours, with my uncle, actually, who I got to know a lot better.
Is he a cool uncle?
Or
is he the weird uncle?
Well, you know Kim, who was on our show, who
the
nutritionist and Fitbit.
Fitbit.
It's her dad.
Okay, so he's a cool uncle.
He's cool. He's a lot like my dad, you know, and it's nice just to have someone there to like watch your luggage when you go pee for the 15th time because you're in this airport for so long. And his flight wasn't until like 7 and my flight was supposed to be at 3. But our family was like, sorry, Kevin, we're only driving to the airport once. You got to go. You got to just go sit there with Christy until your flight.
Because
it's like 50 minutes away. And, you know, they were doing like a wedding brunch and stuff. But anyways, my flight didn't end up leaving till 7 anyway. So we sat there for 4 hours. I did get to watch the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix.
It's so funny, right?
I actually thought it was really funny, except for all the stuff about transgender people. And then I didn't laugh at all. And I was like kind of disappointed. And I was like, I'm not like a prickler, you know, I'm not prickly about politically sensitive stuff because I love stand-up comedy. But I don't know, it just didn't, like, it didn't nail with me. But the rest of it, I thought was so good.
Actually, I didn't watch the whole thing now that you mentioned this. The one that I really loved and watched and, like, could not stop laughing at was Louis C.K.
Oh, I haven't.
Like, the new Louis C.K.
I don't think I have watched that one yet.
Oh, dude.
I will, though. I do like him,
You've got to watch it. It's so messed up, and you kind of don't want to laugh at parts, but you can't help but laughing.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
I'll hit it up. I was glad to get even an hour and a half of Dave Chappelle in at this airport, because I've never, like, watched a streaming thing on my computer at an airport before. I see people doing it, and I'm always like, I'm going to read my book or do work or whatever, but I had so much time, so I watched that. And I finally got on my plane, and it was one of those prop planes with the propellers right outside my window and like one seat on each. It was tiny, and everybody on it was pissed off. Like, you could feel the pissed offness because everyone by that point had missed their original connections. And I mean, everybody was like smelly, angry. It was not, I mean, it just was like brutal. And then I get to Newark. Have you ever been to that airport? Newark, New Jersey?
No to Newark.
It's like 4 separate airports, and you have to take a bus to get in between terminals. And of course, mine are on opposite ends. And the buses are going like behind the scenes. It's like behind the scenes at Disneyland. Like, you see these workers like taking smoke breaks. There's like trash everywhere. You see all this construction shit that's just been pushed aside, broken planes, like trucks that aren't working. And you're on a bus like touring this to get to your next terminal. And then I made a beeline for the bar, as one does when they have another 3-hour layover. And it had 4 seats, and it was packed, and there was like a giant line. And I looked around and was like, this is an airport nobody wants to be at. Who wants to be in Newark, New Jersey? Why wouldn't you have a giant bar? Why is your bar so small? Who designed this airport? I just was like, what is happening? This is the worst day ever.
Isn't this the flight that, like, you were really, something canceled?
Yes,
and you were, like, angry about?
Yeah, I was
like,
sure.
Like, a long time ago.
I was positive that something was going to go wrong because it was United, who I do not have good luck with. Sorry. Sorry, United. Sorry, not sorry, actually. I will say that as a consumer. I got my ticket through Expedia, and then not 2 days after I bought my ticket, I get an email from United, and they were like, oh, well, that flight you bought and paid for, we canceled it. We just canceled it. So you're on the next one, which lands 3 hours later. And now you're going to miss whatever you were going to be there for. Oh, what? It was a wedding and you're the officiant? Sorry. Nothing we can do. So I already had bad mojo about this trip out there. Like, Albany is notoriously difficult for me to get to and get in and out of. And anyways, I got there fine. But the reason I'm so tired now is because it took so long. I got home at like 1:30 a.m. last night. And then the alarm went off at 6 because both the boys have school today.
Oh my God.
So
today.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like a zombie. And you know, I haven't unpacked anything. I have makeup on my face from last night. You'd be so disappointed.
You look fabulous.
I don't know when that bag is going to get
considering.
Unpacked.
Yeah. Here she goes. Is that tea, coffee?
It's coffee.
Or does that have a little bourbon in it?
It's just coffee. Although my dear husband did offer to pour some Baileys in it for me this morning in celebration
Yum.
Of our 8-year anniversary, which is today.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
8 years.
8 years. Every year we're like, how long have we been married? Joey, how old are you? Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's how long we've been
That's
married.
Easy. He never have an excuse to forget that.
Hey, you know what I'm giving him? I'm giving him a manly band.
You to who? To Lance?
To Lance, because remember they sent us those bands, and I never even showed Lance, because I showed him the one that they sent two. So I showed him the one that I ended up like talking about that had the inlays and wood and stuff. But I kept the other one, and I'm gonna give it to him because he lost his wedding ring again like 2 weeks ago.
He lost it 2 weeks ago.
He has a Kalo. Like, now we have a Kalo, Q-A-L-O. Have you seen those rings? They're like rubber plastic rings.
No.
They were made for, I think it was a fireman whose wife, it was a couple, like somebody who works with their hands. So like forest rangers and firemen and police officers and people in like service industry. These rings are like really durable, and they only cost about $20 each. And there's all different kinds of whatever. They're just cool, like for guys who are constantly washing their hands like Lance. Because of his work, they're non-irritant, and the best part is they're $20. So whenever he loses one, I just order him another one, and it's like gray plastic. It's cool, but anyways, that's what he wears, and he lost it recently. So for our anniversary, I'm gonna give him that blue steel manly band, the one I really liked.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so I have it all worked out. After 5 more cups of coffee, my kids come home, I'll be back.
So, today was first day of school for us.
Oh, yeah. Cool. How'd it go?
Yeah. It went fine. It went fine. But I don't know why we got a call from Miss Taverna. She's the nurse, the school nurse.
Oh.
That Santi, our son, was feeling nauseous. And I'm like, what?
Maybe he was nervous.
Me? I just got rid of him. What?
He knew the key word.
Nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
They don't want those kids around.
But he's fine. He's fine. Actually, I decided not to go. I sent Jose Luis, because if I go, you know, I'd be like, oh, you're nauseous. Come home. But he's actually fine. He's actually fine.
Why do you think he said that then?
I don't know. This happened to him last week too, when he was supposed to go to this all day event with a friend and his friend's father. And he was like, nauseous. I'm showing the what are these called?
Quotation
marks with my fingers. But then, like a few hours later, he was fine.
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a 9-year-old thing. Who knows? But anyway, he's at school.
Okay.
He's at school.
Good. Well, crisis averted.
Yeah. Yeah. And yesterday we took them to the hair salon because I have started a terrible. You know, I color my hair. And they've always been curious about it. So then they wanted to color their hair like blue a few months ago.
Okay.
So I like took them to the salon with me and it was this whole thing. It was super fun. We had a lot of fun, but it was very expensive.
To get their hair.
Yeah. Because we have dark hair. So you have to like put peroxide in it first and then do the color, blah, 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 blah. So then I was like, when the color washed out, the blonde that was in his hair just at the top and his cute little curls looked super cool. So then he decided he wanted to do it again. And you want to do it for the first day of school. So I took him to a cheaper place yesterday, but we spent all day there. So he has blonde highlights and his super cute curly hair up at the top, super short around the sides. And then she got what she calls mermaid hair. So like the bottom, like 3 inches of her hair have purple and teal. What does she call it? What do they do?
Balayage or whatever.
Balayage. Yeah. Dude, we were at the salon forever.
Yeah, that sounds very, like, pot committed. You really went full on.
It is. Anyway, so what are we here to talk about? Oh, weddings. Right. Wedding stuff. So you just got back last night from your cousin's wedding. Now, you were the officiant at that wedding.
Yes, I was the officiant.
So how did that go? Did you cry?
No, not, like, tears. But I cracked. I thought I audibly cracked more than once, but the only thing people heard was like the most obvious time that my voice cracked, which was kind of at the very end, so it was okay. And nothing like, you know, it wasn't like a chortle or anything embarrassing, you know, it just was like I had to pause for a second in the middle of a sentence and like compose myself. And it was actually Justice Kennedy's there's no institution higher than marriage quote, which he put out with the marriage equality.
You
know, 2 years ago, that decision. So this was a straight wedding. My cousin's a girl and she's marrying her boyfriend. But the quote is really beautiful and it's like, there's no institution higher than marriage, like for it embodies all of the highest things that we strive for. Blah, blah, blah. Family is in this list. And so I cracked in that kind of because that quote means so much to me. And I've heard it at, you know, so many of the gay weddings that I do. And when it is just like so important to the people getting married. And I love that my cousin let me, you know, put it in there even because it does definitely like appeal to any marriage and it's a perfect quote for a wedding ceremony. And I've heard it in a couple straight weddings too. But also if you don't know it, you wouldn't know, like, you know, there was people, they had guests who just would have been like, oh, that was a pretty thing some justice said, and they wouldn't know the weight of it. But you know, the gig was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm used to feeling like I nailed it, like, after something, after a toast or after a wedding when I'm the wedding planner, like, I nailed it. That was awesome. And I did not feel that way after this.
Really?
Yeah, why? I feel, well, all the comments I've gotten have been really, everyone was like, that was so great. You did amazing. But I felt like, God, that was so much harder than I thought. And I was so nervous. And I'm part of the reason they asked me is because I'm a performer. Like, I'm comfortable in front of people. Not just wedding planning, but like on stage. And I have that background. And Michelle, my knees were visibly like shaking up there.
You were nervous.
Yes, I was so nervous. And we were in the elevator coming down to the ceremony. And I was next to the groom. And he was very nervous. He had his cheeks were so red. Not nervous to like get married, of course. But just like these two people, they do not seek the center of attention. Let's put it that way. They're not shy. They're just not, they do not have like a showboat bone in their bodies. They're not going to be the person at any table that's like telling jokes and like wrangling people. So when it came time, like, okay, it's go time. We're in the elevator going down and it's me and him and the three kids, her nieces and nephews who were the, you know, flower girls and the ring bearer. Cause there were no other attendants up there with us. So the processional was very short. But my cousin, her brother was also there with us. And he looks at me and he's like, are you nervous? And I go, and I'm next to the groom who's obviously nervous. So I want to be like, No, I'm not nervous. I'm totally, this is going to be.
What are you talking about?
This is, I'm calm. Everyone in this elevator is calm and confident. And instead I just was like, of course I'm nervous. I've never done this before. And he was like, what do you mean you've never done this before? You do this all the time. And I was like, no, Ryan, I plan weddings all the time. I don't officiate. I've never done this. And he's like, yeah, but you see other people do it. And I go, yeah, and your aunt goes to Broadway shows all the time. That doesn't mean she can get up on stage and, like, belt, you know, belt totally. One out. It's, and then as soon as I, like, finish yelling at my cousin in the elevator, I look at the groom.
Oh, no.
And I just wanted to be, like, every bone in my body wanted to be able to, like, grab his shoulders and just be like, hey, man, it's going to be great. I'm going to be up there with you. I got this. And instead, I just grabbed his shoulders and just looked at him, and I didn't say anything, and he looks at me, and we have this, like, silent moment of, like, okay, we're just gonna do it anyway. I don't know.
You're like, you got that? You got that?
Yeah, I was
that?
Like,
you good?
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm good. And I was like, okay, I'm good, too. And then the procession, you know, the kids, well, we went, and then he walked very slow. I think he had, you know, it was kind of a short aisle. He had been told, like, take your time. He walked very slow, and then it was my turn, and I didn't want to walk really slow because I'm, you know.
You walked down the aisle? They had you walk down the aisle?
Yes, because there wasn't really a way to enter at the front. Yeah.
After him.
After him.
You walked after
him. I thought we would go together or him, me first, but they had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had it written out, and there was only us two, so it, you know, it gave him one more second to be up there by himself so the photographer could get that. Either way, I walked in with, like, as little, you know, as little fanfare as I could and just walked in and, you know, my Spanx were like keeping it all together. God. And
why are you wearing
my
Spanx?
Palms were
anyway,
sweaty. It's about the lines of the, you know, the dress
lines.
Like
okay.
Hanging. And
so you were nervous.
Yes. And
you walked in second. Was there a wedding coordinator?
No, no. But there was, I had talked to the DJ and it was, you know, a pretty easy, the cues were pretty easy.
No wedding party?
No wedding party. Just the kids, three kids. One thing is we did a rehearsal, and this is apt for those of you who think we're just like catching up. If you're listening and you're planning your wedding, this is something to think about. It was a small group. It was under 90 people, and I can project. I have no problem reading and projecting, and I knew that the back people could hear me. My cousin had paid or had the DJ, I'm sure she had to pay extra, have a wireless mic on a stand. And during the rehearsal, when the room was empty and the seats were empty and it was just a couple people, we practiced it. And I said, I don't think I need a mic. There were two readers and I looked at both the readers and I was like, if you're comfortable with it, then you can just stand up and do your reading as long as you project. And they were both like, yeah, we're good. And they practiced it and they did project at the rehearsal. And I made the decision. I was like, I'll just make the executive. We don't need the mic. So I gave it back to the DJ and I regret doing that. And now I feel bad because, you know, I'm the one who made the decision and it's over because, one of the readers wasn't actually as loud as he needed to be, I thought, but also, the kids, the beautiful flower girls and ring bearer were at the very front, sort of next to me up there in the front row. Close.
Oh, they stayed standing.
No, they were sitting. They were supposed to be sitting, but they were, what I'm trying to say is they were sort of a noise wall in between me, my voice, and the back row. So while I was doing the ceremony, they were kind of just being kids, like nothing crazy, but loud enough that like them talking and me not having a mic talking got a little muddled. And I knew it
okay,
as it was
happening.
How old
were these kids?
1.5, 3.5, Ooh. And 6.
Okay, yeah.
It's, I mean,
under 4, under 5, it's always a toss-up, right?
It's really, they were the only kids there. They're the bride's nieces and nephew, who she's very close to. And they weren't misbehaving. They just were talking. Not the whole time, but like at certain times and I was distracted by it myself, which then I felt like I'm not doing my job. I don't know. I was in my head. Like I'm not doing my job. I should be not distracted by that. I am the point person of this wedding. And it was, all of it. It was a lot harder than I thought. So take all of this. If you're listening, you're considering having a friend be your efficient. Like I hit all the boxes for a candidate who would make a good efficient, and I was thrown. I mean, I think ultimately it went really well. I got a lot of great feedback from both sides of the family, but it was a harder job than I was expecting.
Well, I think you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you're a performer and because you're a wedding planner, and you probably shocked yourself in that you were being nervous, and this is new territory for you. You haven't done this before. So nothing went wrong, though.
Nothing went wrong.
So I mean, and I'm sure it was great. You're just being hard on yourself. So the moral of the story is keep the mic.
Yeah, keep the mic and rehearse. I had rehearsed out loud in my own, in the bathroom, you know, a week ahead of time. I also did in the space by myself. But the tricky part for me, and this was, I think this is kind of a unique situation, but then again, if you have a friend as your efficient, they do know people there. I knew half the people there. So anytime you meet somebody's eyes, here I am talking about the institution of marriage and the profound moment where you commit yourself to your beloved. And I look up and I see my dad with tears in his eyes looking at me from the back row as he rubs my mom's back. And they've been married for 40 years. And I was just like, those are moments you don't expect to like take your breath away. And then in my head, I'm like, don't look at anyone. So it was a combination of things. Like this was an emotional, you know me, I cry on half of these podcasts that we record talking about like
you're crying.
Whatever. So yeah, I had to, if I had practiced it more in front of people, maybe that would have helped. But,
so maybe also don't get a crier for your efficient, but you did fine.
Yeah. I didn't like actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. And you really do cry easily. So yeah, I mean, that's like fine. And you know what? That adds to the emotion of it. That's the whole reason that they have, you know, you doing this. Yeah.
And, you know, the bride and groom, they both teared up almost immediately, too. And I knew if that happened, I was going to be a lot less likely to get through the whole thing without cracking a little bit. Because they're right in front of me. I mean, it was kind of, it was a cool gig. It does feel powerful and weighted to be up there. Like, oh, these two people want to do this really huge life thing. And they want me to guide them through it, like legitimately, you know?
Well, and you're the one, the only one there that can actually make them married.
Yes. Yeah. It was
like, you have the power.
Yeah. And I did like saying that, by the power vested in me. I mean, it was cool. I am so glad I did it. It does feel like, cause I know my cousin, but I'm not all that close with her. We've never lived near each other. We haven't spent a ton of time together. And I definitely think that this solidified, you know, some kind of connection that's like, they're always going to remember that I was up there with them and that these words, a lot of the words were mine. And that felt really, it felt great. I'm really glad I did it. I guess I didn't walk away feeling like, yeah, I was awesome at that. But it wasn't about me. So
you're right. It wasn't about you. Yeah.
So hopefully.
But it was very sweet. And that, you're right. That's always a memory you'll have and they'll have and very special of you.
Yeah. So if you are thinking of asking a friend or if you're listening and somebody has asked you to be an efficient, I would definitely say think hard about it. You know, it's not just like, oh, sure. No big deal. I'll just go online, get my thing. Boom, boom. You're married. It is an important role.
But that's what we're seeing. I mean, all of my weddings this year, is it all of them? I'm trying to think back.
All of mine but one this year were friends.
Yeah, friends or family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one I have coming up, the next one, he is a family member, but he's actually also a reverend. So does it for a living.
Yeah, has done it before.
I mean, part of the job. Yes. But yes, everybody's, you know, utilizing a loved one or a special person to them to officiate. So it's quite interesting. It's like, you know, the kids these days coloring the hair.
Totally. That's the trend. New finagled. I did give them the script afterwards. So I thought that, you know, you don't always get the wedding script when you get married in a church, and it's kind of like a basically like a...
Right.
They're just plugging in your names, but they do the same ceremony pretty much for everyone. Yeah,
it's like the book.
Yeah, it's a template. So giving them the script, because I think probably they didn't actually hear some of the stuff I said about love and each other. Not. And so it was, that's another thing to remember is like to preserve that script, print it out, put it in your wedding book or your album. Because if you had a friend do it, it's very personal. It's almost like another toast in some ways. I am like talking about the two of them, how they met, what they love about each other. So I think them having the script, they'll be able to read that back and be like, oh, I didn't know she said that about what, you know, that you said that about me and things like that. So that's a nice like keepsake, I think.
That's awesome. That's very cool. So then everything went, and you were a guest at this wedding. You didn't.
Yeah. And then we signed the license. Wedding.
This
and
is
we
the
came
second
down.
Wedding you're a guest at.
Yeah. Actually, I went to 4 weddings this year. So all of, I mean, with the exception of one other one where I didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
This one, after we signed the license, I really was just a true guest the whole time. There was nothing else for me to do. And that, you know, that was nice to catch up with all my family and stuff.
And you're mailing it in or are they mailing it
actually,
in?
Actually, good question. And the officiant has to do it. And in upstate New York, all the paperwork is different. Every state, every district can be different. The paperwork that you're going to get if you want for your marriage license. This one had a big old tag on it that said, license must be mailed in, must arrive at City Hall no more than 5 days after the solemnization. And it's Labor Day weekend. So they got married on Sunday. The mail's not going to come on Monday. I mean, it's in a mailbox, but it would be picked up, you know, on Tuesday. And then it has to be there by
Saturday. Right?
Friday.
No, 5 days.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, it'll get there.
Yeah.
Did you drop it in the mail in New York?
I dropped it. I just left it to be picked up from their house mailbox. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Your officiant does have that duty. I would have driven it myself, but it said on it, mailed in.
Has to be mailed in.
Yeah, so it was a very...
Interesting.
Those kind of things make me nervous because you're like, here, I've done the whole job. We've gotten through it. And then I'm going to screw up some kind of logistic red tape here. But I think...
Very cool.
It's all good.
A first for you. Yeah. That's awesome.
When I get the pictures back, I'll post something on our... podcast page, like the pictures of me up there, because I don't know what looks like at all, but
yeah
it was good.
Very good, very good.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you something. My cousin,
what,
God bless her, some of my aunts and uncles were requesting song, like we dance at our weddings, and someone went up to the DJ and requested Beat It. And he was like, no, I can't do Beat It, it's on there, no playlist. And my aunt goes, what? What about Thriller? And he was like, actually, they said, I can't play any Michael Jackson. So she comes, my aunt like comes back to our table to report. She was like, that's weird. He said Michael Jackson was on the no playlist. And I said to everyone like, oh man, if this guy is marrying into our family and he said no Michael Jackson for whatever reason, then, you know, how is this going to work? And I mentioned it to Casey, my cousin, later, who was getting married. And she was like, no, I'm the one who did that.
What?
Yeah. She was like, I just have like a huge problem with Michael Jackson because he's a pedophile.
No, he's okay. All right.
No joke. That's what she said. And I was like, wow, that is quite a stance for.
That is quite a stance for a wedding.
I was like, I'm actually relieved to know it wasn't Michael because we were going to throw him to the wolves, but we can't eat our own. So we'll just.
Is this the cousin that listens to our podcast?
She does listen to our podcast. I don't know if she will anymore.
I don't know, but I'm.
I know.
Okay, to each his
it
own.
It breaks your heart.
I'm not. I'm gonna push it way back down into my.
Just know that
stomach.
We were all surprised. I had no idea she felt that way about the late great
Shocking.
Michael Jackson.
What about Prince? Did they do Prince?
I don't know if there was any Prince. I'm gonna go ahead and say there were 3 songs by Pink.
I'm feeling a little sick. I can't. Earth, Wind, and Fire. How about Earth, Wind, and Fire? Was there any Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yes, there was. Yes. Okay. I remember that. There was actually a lot of that genre and generation. So.
All right. Yeah. All right.
It was fun. It was one of those dance floors that definitely had as many people in their 50s and 60s as people in their 20s and 30s dancing, which I think that's those awesome. Are the best kinds of dance floors.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Good for them. Good for them. Well, you had fun.
It was really fun. I got a lot of time with some cousins and aunts and uncles I haven't seen for a while.
And your parents.
Yes, and my parents. Yeah. And my grandma was there. And that's another thing about these weddings, at least in our, where I am, I'm 35. And so my grandma, I think she's 85. But every time there is a big celebration like this, in the back of your mind, you kind of think, in the back of all of our minds, oh, this might be the last one grandma can attend. Because she's got
lots of pictures of
grandma. Yeah, she's got to take an airplane. And so I think, like, for brides and grooms who are listening, like, remembering that people do go out of their way, literally, flying across the country to come celebrate your weddings. And these are the moments when we talk about, like, yeah, receiving lines are hard, or making sure you get to every table is hard. But if your grandma's there and you don't know how much longer she's going to be able to get on planes and physically get places, like making sure that you get FaceTime and some good photos and some good, like, talking to those guests is very important. And you're never going to regret that. You're never going to wish, like, I wish I hadn't spent 10 minutes on the balcony talking to, you know, my great grandpa, because those are the sweet, you know, that's why. It's a village. People come to celebrate you. Those are the sweet moments that you're not going to forget.
Yeah, I have to tell you, like, my sister being engaged, like, up until now, the process has been kind of stressful for me because I'm helping them plan. And they both are very like, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that, like, changing the minds. And I'm like, can we just find the location and set a date? Like, yeah. But we're in the home stretch. They're about to sign it. We have a contract. They're about to sign it. We have a date. So, like, I feel like now it's like getting real. Like, I've never experienced someone close to me in my family getting married. And it's my sister, you know, so it's like, it's super exciting. Like, she got her dress. I was really bummed I couldn't be with her to go find her dress, but my mom and my stepmom went, and like, all the other bridesmaids, and they were like FaceTiming me and sending me pictures. She got her dress. It's gorgeous. I love the dress. Uh-huh. And they found the bridesmaid dresses that I'll be wearing. And I really like the bridesmaid dress. Like, I was like, okay, this is good. And it's like, they got a discount on the bridesmaid dresses. This is going to be just a few dollars over, like $200. My daughter, you know my daughter, she's super excited because she's going to be a flower girl. And so she yesterday was like, Mom, should I come up with some designs, you know, so she sketched a design for a cake, you know, and like, yeah. And like, we were looking at flower girl dresses. So we're getting excited. And I'm like, this is what I see, like, my clients and I see their family excited. But, like, now I'm like, oh, my little sister's getting married, and we're going to do this, and we're going to have a bachelorette party, and I'm going to be home at the end of this month, so I'm going to go get my fitted for my dress, and then we're going to do a site tour of the venue, and we're going to have lunch.
Yeah, now you're a part of it instead of behind the
scenes. I'm a part of it, like, a genuinely, like, family member part
VIP,
of it.
VIP, integral. I mean, honestly, because we're wedding planners and we always have that mind, and we're always answering people's questions about weddings, even when we're not their wedding planner, that's, like, the benefit of being friends with us. But I bet you it'll take until that morning, the morning of her wedding, for you to feel like you're fully let go of all of the, like, putting the pieces together and the logistics and the timing, and are going to be present for that day as the bride's sister. And it is such a big deal. I forget that too. Like, the weddings are such a big deal.
They are.
And
they're such a big
deal. It's so important to the families to be a part of it. Like, my grandma was in the room when my cousin was getting ready, and she just sat there. Oh. She couldn't, you know, she can barely talk anymore. She's not helping with anything. She's not bustling around, but she was there, and it was just so important that she was
there.
And
I'm sure she loved every minute of it.
Yes, and you're going to be, like, immersed in something that's happening around you, and you're not going to be making it happen. You're used to being the one making it happen, and now you get to be in the middle of it with your sister who's experiencing this, you know, really amazing thing. So this is why we do it, folks. Like, we buy it. We believe in this stuff.
We live for this shit. Yeah. And, you know, I feel bad. Like, my grandmother was alive when I was planning my wedding, and she was super excited, and she, like, went with me, like, to the cake tasting, and she, like, went with me to all the stuff because she, you know, lived at home. I used to pick her up, you know, pick her up, and she'd get in the car, and she'd just spend all day driving with me. She loved it. And I got my wedding cake where she got her wedding cake and her daughter's wedding cakes, and I got you know, I had my reception on Treasure Island, which the whole reason I had it there was because that was their first date, my grandmother and grandfather, during the World's Fair. So it was this very special time I got to spend with her, and she, like, raised me. She, like, helped raise me and my sister.
I didn't know you guys were that close.
We're super close. Super close. Like, when my parents got divorced, thank God my grandparents were there. Like, they just picked us up and just gave us that love. And so she, you know, it was very special, but she's passed away. And so I feel like for my sister, like, she's not going to be able to get that. And I know she's kind of bummed about that, you know, so we talk about it sometimes. But now I'm the one getting teary-eyed.
You're tearing up. You'll have to, I mean, you know.
That doesn't happen often.
There's matriarchs in a family that are, and you are one of those matriarchs now that are in charge of, like, bringing the heart to any of these kinds of events, whether it's happy or sad. You know, bringing up the memories and making sure you take the pictures that'll look like what your grandma would have, you know, that place or that certain whatever. So it's,
we're going to have to do something to honor her for sure. Yeah. We got to do something good, but yeah. So, very exciting, very exciting. And I've got a couple weddings coming up. I got one in San Jose, one in San Francisco, end of this month. So I'll be home for like a week there. I'm super excited about both weddings, but one in particular, the one in San Jose. Stephanie, if you're listening, she's like one of our original fan listeners every week. She texts me almost after every show, like, yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, this was good. That was great. Anyway, she's starting her own podcast, but, you know, her and I have been talking about, she's like, what should I do? Like, what should I get? And I told her about Dan Benjamin, like we did, and I had her listen to everything. So she has the microphone that's like, portable, and that you do interviews with out on the field. And so I think for the show, she's going to let me use that to interview her
on the wedding day
before the wedding.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, she's so into it. She's totally gonna do it. So hopefully we'll have like this real life wedding as it's unfolding, as it's happening. I'm going to see how far I can take into recording it, even maybe on the wedding day. And play around with it.
Oh,
see how
that'll be fun. I'm glad she's into that.
It'll be fun. She's so into it.
Well, you mentioned that your mom and stepmom were with your sister, which brings me to my next point about family dynamics and divorces, maybe specifically. Yep. Like, this wedding for my cousin, both the bride and groom's parents individually, the two couples have been both married for 38 years. So it was one of those rare weddings, and all had long marriages over 50 years. All the grandparents weren't there, but they had all been married for a long time, like till death do us part. So we definitely talked about that in the ceremony, because I told them, I can't remember the last wedding I did where everybody was married for that long.
Me neither.
And they wanted to honor their parents and talk about like what they've learned about marriage from seeing these really amazing, successful marriages. And I wrote all that stuff, and I thought it was quite poignant.
Very good job.
But afterwards, I was talking to some of my aunts who have been divorced, or just other people, you know, weddings that get complicated because of that. So I think we should do an episode about what to do. You know, you're getting married when your parents, because we've touched on that in a lot of episodes, like the stepmom's going to wear this color, or how do I include some of my, you know, the family that I'm not so crazy about, or we're not that close, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, that kind of stuff. So I think that's another good idea for a future episode is like,
absolutely.
You know, my parents are divorced, but they get along, or my parents are divorced, but they do not get along. And there's some step stuff, particularly maybe too about like the events ahead of time. Like the bride, you know, it's hard. It's a bridal shower hosted by the bride's mom, who's not friends with the, you know, the dad's new wife, but
Yeah.
Do they have, you know, do you have to play along? Do you have to have two bridal showers? And how do we navigate through that with, you know, because we've encountered that a lot.
That's a really good idea, Christy, because I remember for me, when I was getting married, my mom and my stepmom didn't get along as well as they do now. So that was very challenging for me.
That's something to remind your sister.
Now they're fine. They even joke around and they laugh about my dad.
Yeah, like your sister's lucky that she gets, you know, both of them on board this way.
Yeah, absolutely. But it for me, when I'm sitting down with my clients, the one part that we always spend time on when there's step-parents involved is the ceremony itself,
yeah,
the processional, and the seating. There's always that,
yeah,
okay, talk to me. Do they get along? Can they sit next to each other? Is mom going to be upset if stepmom sits?
Who's
going to
escort mom in if, you know, who goes first? I mean, it's all basically there's no rule book anymore. And you're going to get 10 different answers if you go to 10 different wedding blogs about how to do this. So we'll break it down, you know, how we've seen it done, what we think works, and, you know, just our general advice, which, spoiler alert, is usually like, in the moment, do what's best for you, and everything else will, the chips will
fall. Let's do that. Let's make that one of our next recordings for sure. Yeah. Let's do that.
And then maybe that's another one, they also brought up like a seamstress. You got to find that lady who has your dress.
Oh God.
When you're out in the Bay Area, but we should talk to, I'm sure some seamstresses have some pretty incredible stories because they work with brides and these very special gowns like two or three times before the wedding. And I'd love to talk to somebody about like do's and don'ts and ways, you know, some hints or ways you can take a dress that, you know, might not fit your body and like work with somebody to get everything perfect and things like that as we're thinking about rounding out our first year of the podcast.
We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. Can you believe this?
Yeah, we've asked for, if you have any like favorite moments, hit us up on Twitter or email us like a favorite episode or a favorite thing that one of us said, because we're going to put together some kind of special anniversary episode. So
yeah. Or if any of you have been listening for a while, like we're trying to figure out the format of our 1 year anniversary show. But I'd love, like, if you guys have any, like, you want to email us something and say thank you or like say you guys suck. Either way.
We'll include
any love
it.
Notes that we can read on our 1 year show. That would be really great. We would love that because we're super excited about it. And we got to pat ourselves on the back.
Pat our asses.
We've got to pat our asses on the back because we have been doing this every week.
Yeah, we haven't taken a single week off.
We haven't taken a single week off. Well, sometimes we do two in a week, so we double up.
Yeah, but we've never taken a Wednesday with nothing released, right?
No. Oh, no, yeah, no. That's okay. Never. Uh-uh.
And so every we'll pull in some of our favorite, of our guests. We'll get them to say something for the anniversary. The people we've had on... I know Matt and Amanda are a couple that we talked to before their wedding. After? We talked to them afterwards too, right?
We've talked. Yeah. No. Yes.
I thought we did.
No, we did not talk to them after yet. We have to do that.
Yeah, and we'll get our groom back as well. The groom, Dre, that we talked to. Just to see how married life is going. So send us, if you have ideas for episodes that you want to hear, we are all ears. And then also if you have any like favorite moments or favorite topics that we tackled.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We got to wrap it up because it's wedding season, lady. I am so freaking busy, by the way. And guess what? You'd be proud of me.
I am always proud of you.
I'm disgusted by it. I have two loads of laundry unfolded that have been sitting there for 3 days. In fact, it's starting to make me sick.
I'm only proud of you for your mental capacity to be able to deal with that. Not because I like have a thing for clean clothes just sitting around.
This is what wedding season does.
Well,
to
two
me.
Weddings in one weekend, basically, right? That's how.
Yeah,
that's
I
a
rarely
lot.
Do
yeah,
that.
Good for you.
I rarely do that. But yeah, it is what it is. I will get to it. I did vacuum the house yesterday, so there you go. There you go. All right, throw out the Twitter and all that stuff.
Oh, yes, Twitter, at TBWP podcast. And if you tweet us, we will respond within 24 hours. I promise. And our email is...
Christy might pee your pants.
Our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com.
Hey, and if you have time to rate us and review us on iTunes, that would be so freaking awesome. We love to read those. And actually, we have a new one to read. We'll probably read that one next week. Super, super stoked about that. So thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Enjoy the planning. Enjoy your family. Happy planning. Christy, get some sleep. Woo-hoo. Take off the makeup from last night. And, yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.